Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:23 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time, and today is October 13th. Well, today we saw that the stock market was able to retrace quite a significant decline relative to the kind of volatility that we've had recently, but which is has been very, very inert. But for example, the S&P 500 closed in moderately positive territory, having it opened down on the day. And part of the reason that it opened downwards was because the Nikkei was down about 300 points today. And that continues to look like the first consolidation following what has been an incredibly impressive breakout. And when we look at that move, that it exploded north of 20,000 and moved to new highs that haven't been seen in decades. But it did so in such a very impressive move that we are liable to get some pause in consolidation, and not least when stock markets globally have largely paused. What I've been highlighting in repeated broadcasts is the second section index, which has paused in the region of big round numbers on the last three occasions that it's hit a round number. So it's pausing at 70,000, it paused at 6,000, and it paused at 5,000. There wasn't quite the same pause at 4, and or indeed at 3. But when we look at, for example, that big move that we saw when it hit 6,000 earlier this year, it was short and sharp and quickly rebounded. And I don't anticipate that we're going to have something different on this occasion, that it's still pulling back, but this remains a bullish environment from the broad perspective. And it isn't just about the fact that the yen is still trading below the 115 area. And it has been ranging here around 114 for most of the last month. And I think it is noteworthy that it hasn't pulled back in, or well, the it hasn't strengthened, or the dollar hasn't pulled back in a dynamic manner similar to what it did back in May and July, but rather that the dollar has been firmer here against the yen. And I do think that it is only a matter of time before it sustains a move above 115. When we look at the contrast in terms of the monetary and fiscal policies that we're seeing in Japan and in the US, well, their fiscal policies are quite opposite. Japan is still engaged in quantitative easing and increasing the size of its balance sheet. The Federal Reserve is just beginning to reduce the size of its balance sheet. But Japan is on a full-fledged fiscal stimulus, whereas the USA is still wrangling about just how to implement a fiscal stimulus. And that should contribute to the dollar doing better. But of course, also you have the yen's tendency to be a safe haven asset. So if we do get a pullback on stock markets, and we have had a pause in stock markets, and particularly I think when we look at Europe, we have a better example of a pause than we do on Wall Street, that over the last few sessions, or I guess all of last week, the Euro Stoxx index has been pulling back, and today it gave us the first sign that it might be beginning to find support, finishing off its low. The DAX index was really quite similar, and it is also firming from the 13,000 level in here at the present time. But when we look at that on a weekly basis, it is still quite overextended relative to the trend mean, and so far this looks like a consolidation. When we marry that up with what we're seeing, for example, on Wall Street, then the consolidation that we've had, and so far, for example, the Dow Jones has been largely ranging for 3 weeks already. And this is another one of these very tight ranges that has got a very narrow amplitude and is quite similar to those that we saw, for example, at the end of September and in June and July. The one that we saw in August was somewhat larger, but not to any real discernible extent. But again, today was another example of how a very small move in stock markets has had a reasonably outsized move in terms of volatility. Volatility has gone from about 9.5 to 12, and then back to 11.5, in just the last 10 trading sessions, whereas the S&P 500 has pretty much gone nowhere. And that also helps to illustrate just how sensitive these volatility measures are to very small moves, and it is also a further testament to the fact that we have had this overwhelming influence of passive investing, quantitative investing, and risk parity strategies on both the stock and bond markets. So, when we look at stocks, we almost have to look at the bond markets, and 10-year treasuries are closing out the day exactly at 240. At 2.4%, I should say, and that was an area of resistance on multiple occasions from April, and the move above it was not sustained. But we have bounced back pretty impressively over the last four sessions. So far, this is looking like a consolidation in terms of the yield or distribution in terms of the price. And when we look at it on a weekly basis, the progression of lower rally highs from the end of last year has been broken. It has found support in the region of the trend mean. The trend mean is starting to turn upwards, and this is largely supportive of the view that we're going to have higher yields. So this is beginning to price in the potential for inflation starting to come back and for interest rates to rise, or even potentially the what Jeff Gundlach refers to as quantitative tightening, which others refer to as normalization of the balance sheet. I think it is reasonable to refer to it as quantitative tightening when increasing the size of the balance sheet is referred to as quantitative easing. And quantitative tightening should represent higher yields. It also is eventually going to represent a headwind for economic growth. And the other headwind to economic growth that we perhaps need to pay attention to is oil. But oil prices were in mildly negative territory in here today, and they have paused over the last week, having broken out to almost touch the $65 area. But when we consider that $60 had been an area of resistance for much of the last few years, then the breakout above 60 is a catalytic event, and it is something that I think we should be paying attention to, because it represents a breakout, and breakouts are seldom it's seldom profitable to simply ignore them. It suggests that there is potential for additional upside here, and of course the reason behind this breakout has been largely geopolitical, that geopolitics has intensified. Not least because of what's going on in Venezuela and the rather confused call for restructuring, and also that because it's a nation that's under sanctions, that it's impossible for U.S. bondholders of Venezuelan debt to restructure. So that is going to create a rather difficult scenario, and also, of course, that the In, on one hand, to call it inept is an understatement, but it is really the rape of the Venezuelan oil company by those in power, and to fund initially vanity projects, and obviously also to line their own pockets, and then to fund just day-to-day expenses for the country, has left it in a very poor position to increase supply. And that represents supply coming out of the global market. And of course, then you have the what's going on in Saudi Arabia, which is on one hand a grasp for power, on another it is a rise in nationalism, and it is a I think an attempt to do something to assuage the growing discontent among the very large young population. And that young population represents a powder keg in terms of political uncertainty if they cannot deliver on better living standards or do something to assuage discontent. So initiating wars is certainly a way of doing that, because it foments national fervor, and Russia has also done something similar. From the West perspective, we have to at least begin to to come up with an idea of what it is that we stand for, that when we think about everything that has been invested in globalization and in boosting the global economy, and that there were hopes in the aftermath of the Cold War that that democratization would sweep the globe, and that simply has not occurred for the major powers. So then that is a big question, that when we think about globalization and think about the fact that you're getting this increasing political polarization in a number of Western countries, that globalization from the perspective of the hollowed out middle class doesn't have a lot to show for itself, and that is a big argument that is going to require championing from the political class, but the political class does not seem to have a clear vision for what the future will be, and that all signals that we are in a period of massive geopolitical change, and not least because it's being initiated by the fact that oil prices have come down, that the argument for renewables and other alternative sources of both energy production and storage continue to evolve with the rapid progress of technological innovation, that is having a geopolitical, or it's providing a geopolitical catalyst and beginning to move the emphasis away from producers and towards consumers, which represents really quite a profound change for large population consumer countries, not least India or China or indeed Japan. Then if we look at what's been going on in Australia, then it has also broken clearly through this 6,000 level, but it has paused, and this is a new high. And we haven't seen highs above 6,000 since 2008, and it has rallied for 5 consecutive weeks, so we may get some pause and consolidation in this area, but it represents a return to demand dominance. And of course, we are still in a period of synchronized global economic expansion, so that is perhaps what one might expect, but the stock market is being aided by the relative weakness of the Aussie dollar. And the Australian dollar was in additional weak territory in here today, so it is at a new reaction low, and a clear upward dynamic tomorrow would be required to question potential for additional downside here. Now, the fact that it is now dropping below the trend mean, and has so far sustained that move, and is back inside the range that it had broken out of earlier this year, that raises the potential that it could come back down towards the lows seen back in May, which are closer to about 73 cents. So there's an additional 3 cents of decline at least in the potential there. Then when we look at the commodity sector, copper was stronger by an additional 4 cents in here today, and that is the first upward dynamic that we've seen in a while. But so far, this has been just a consolidation. It has been coming down much slower than it went up, and it has given up just about half of the advance that we saw in October. So I think that, again, this just looks like a consolidation. And nickel prices were a little bit steadier in here today. They've been consolidating for the last week, and what this continues to look like, to me at least, is a base formation completion. And nickel, of course, is, and indeed copper, are vital components in battery manufacturing. And considering the number of battery factories that are currently under construction, it holds out the prospect of a supply inelasticity meets rising demand environment, not just for lithium, but for other industrial commodities over the coming years as these factories come online. And in the soft commodity sector, sugar was also in positive territory in here today. It was up 4.9 on the London contract, and continues to unwind that oversold condition relative to the trend mean. And cocoa prices, which had been doing rather well last week, paused in here today, but when we look at that on the weekly chart, we can see very clearly that the base formation has been completed, and a sustained move below the trend mean would really be required to question potential here for additional upside. So what we've seen by and large has been a pause and some consolidation in stock markets, but not particularly in a dynamic manner, and certainly not in a manner that has resulted in a spike higher in volatility. The market that has been most subject to volatility has been Bitcoin, and it pulled back very violently over the last five sessions from a peak on the 8th around 7,880 to a low closer to 5,600 today. But it has rebounded, and this represents a low of at least near-term significance. So this now represents the next higher reaction low within what has been an incredibly volatile but incredibly impressive bull market. And as long as it is holding that 5,500 level, then I think there's very little cause to question the broad consistency of the advance. And I'm flying to London this evening for the chart seminar, and I don't anticipate there being any interruption in service, but I may be posting at slightly odd times, or I might be posting commentary and doing the audio somewhat later, or indeed earlier. So with that, I wish all the best to all of you.